What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the final Tuesdays with Elliot of the year. Jack, because it's the final Tuesdays with Elliot of the year, I cannot go the year without hearing the sassy Elliot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Do you have it? I mean, could you just fire it up now?
Yeah, I mean, I could.
Yeah.
Hold on. Here, 1 second.
Yeah. Okay. I know Elliot likes it so much.
Do we have a remix? No, we got it. Hold on. Here we go.
Hey!
There we go.
Sassy Elliot, girl.
It does get stuck in my head. Like, after I do it, I'll be walking around the house saying it. Yeah.
Hey, Elliot.
What up?
How you doing, brother?
Doing good. Excited for, I guess, a new year, New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah. Now.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I do.
What is it?
He doesn't want to share.
No. Well, I said it last night on the Milata show. I want to do 100 straight push-ups. That's my New Year's resolution. I want to be able to do 100 straight push-ups.
What type of resolution is that?
It's a hard one.
To do 100 push-ups
straight?
100 straight, no stopping.
100 straight. Yeah. But again, you're a former professional athlete.
Yeah, a long time ago.
You think you could do 100 right now?
No.
Jack, I'm sure you couldn't. Actually.
No shot. Yeah.
100? No, I couldn't.
Like 20, hopefully.
I think I could get to 60.
There was a time when
straight, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've been off, I think, for the last couple of weeks because of my back, but I know I could do 50 and I could probably get to 60.
Yeah. But we still haven't seen the 200.
250.
Hold on. You guys are lying.
Whoa.
Well,
have we seen 250?
Now we're liars.
We were at McGurk's and some guy's like, give me 50 right now. And I went down and I did it for him right before
50.
The show started.
Mm. Well, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. Okay.
How long do you have between the 50 again?
Well, I can do it every, like, If I need to, I can do it every 12 minutes or so.
All right. That's pretty legit.
Yeah.
So, 100 straight. That's the goal.
100 straight.
12 minutes?
In between sets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were talking
about
like an hour.
3 minutes?
Well, I can't.
Five minutes. How about getting a real burn going in there?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Yoshi had me doing. Yoshi had me doing to failure over and
exactly,
over and over again.
Yes.
And that's probably why everything started
working out
hurting.
With Yoshi, I wouldn't advise that.
It is crazy how hard push-ups are, though. Like, I work out a lot. I do the boxing classes, and I just can't do push-ups. I'm just not good at them.
Does the bag move when you hit it?
Kind of. You can definitely tell
you say kind of.
My instructor is not worried when I
Does the bag move more than that table did for Seltzer?
Yes, it moves more than that.
But
it would be hard not to. Yeah. The sound the other gloves make when they hit the bag is a little different, I would say, than the sound it makes when I hit it.
Pew!
To you, the thing that I feel, that you feel about push-ups is stairs. Even when I was running marathons.
Oh, I'm good at stairs.
Three sets of, like, going up three flights of stairs would exhaust me.
Will you do the Stairmaster machine thing?
I used to.
Yeah. I'm a beast at that.
Yeah, you're a Stairmaster beast.
I got big thighs. Oh,
there you go. There you go.
You do the Stairmaster?
Big thighs. I used to. I don't anymore. But at an old gym I went to, I actually set the record. It was on the machine for a while.
A record for
like most
amount
stairs
of stairs?
Or whatever, yeah.
What was the record?
I forget, but it was a lot. Yeah.
Wow.
So it said ESP up there if you ever had a gym in Exton.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what was the membership look like over there? Is the 65 and
a
older
lot of
club?
People. Yeah, it was a bit older.
Wow.
You know,
Poor Elliot, just getting crushed. Yeah.
Stairmaster Elliot.
Get ready when I'm doing 100 push-ups in here. Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a deadline on it, or just has to be in 2026?
December 31st.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So you're giving yourself
Although Milata, Jordan said I should do it by his birthday, which is March
31st.
Yeah, so maybe I'll try to set that.
Yeah.
Well, I think we got a bid idea for December 30th. Of 2026.
Watching me try to do 100 push-ups.
Yes. 100 push-ups, 3 o'clock Tuesday.
Yes,
be
one
there.
Year from now.
Yeah.
1 year from now. So, Elliot, I think you're on the same page as us. You would play the starters on Sunday, right?
Well, I would play to win. And if that requires playing the starters, I would. I think they can win with the backups, to be clear. But yes, I think they need the 2 seed. I think that the two seed is a major advantage to them. I came out of this Bills game more discouraged about the offense than I thought I would. And so while I still think they should be viewed as a favorite in the NFC, the two seed and the Packers is just such a nice path for them. If you fall to the three, these are Rams. Now, the Rams aren't playing well, so that is one thing to consider. But I would
the Rams aren't playing well.
Yeah, I mean, they're 2-3 in their last five.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ooh, we're back
I was just
to
making
this
sure
one.
We got that out.
What are the Eagles in their last five?
2-3. Or 3-2.
Would it be 3-2?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but they've beaten the Bills in their last five. Now, it wasn't a great win, but they did beat them.
Okay.
I mean, Rams' offense not looking so good, but we don't have to get into that. I would risk health to get the two seed. Because I think there's a good chance it happens. Like, if you look at the Lions
and the Bears. The Lions could beat the Bears.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the Bears, this is the tough thing with Sunday, too. The Bears play a lot of close games. If you look at their games this year, 10 have been one-score games. And then if you look at their losses, I think two of them were within one score. So, like, there's a good chance that come the third quarter on Sunday, the Bears game will either be close or they'll be losing.
Yes.
So, I think that... I mean, the Lions beat them by 30 points earlier this year. I know that was week two, but still.
Oh, man, we're a long way away from
I know
there.
They were, but I'm just saying, I mean, the Lions, like, this is what their specialty is. They've done this exact thing before, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, they did to the Packers.
Yeah.
Final game of the
season. And I think if we did end up with the three seed and we ended up with a chance for the two seed, if the Lions ended up winning that game and we didn't because we played backups, and we're in the NFC Championship game against anything other than the one seed, and we're traveling to it.
It'd be tough.
You know, to know that we had the opportunity to get it. And the other thing that clicked for me, and it was, I thought about it last night. I already thought they should play him. But I saw McVay's quote last night, and they asked him, are you guys going to play next Sunday? He's like, yes, we have things to work on. We're not playing good football.
See, I actually hate that logic.
Well, see, I think the Eagles...
Because what the Eagles did in 23, and it cost him AJ. Like, I'm not under some illusion that on
Sunday... Well,
the Eagles
were a disaster in 23. Yeah. The Rams are not
agreed,
a disaster.
Agreed, but he is saying they are playing because they have things to work on. That is the logic the Eagles used. I agree the Rams this year are better than the 23 Eagles were. But the only reason I'm putting the players out there is because of the seeding. Like, I don't think they're going to... something's going to click on Sunday or they're going to play with... Like, the reps mean nothing to me on Sunday. It's just about getting the win.
Well, that's what it is, yeah.
That's what I mean. But McVay is saying he's playing to improve
the
team.
I think the reps for the Eagles are important.
I think they are who they are at this point.
Well, it's two different circumstances. McVay doesn't have a seed to play for, so...
His
logic in playing is he wants the team to...
And we'll see if they really do. Right, I mean, I know he's saying they will, but
I think they'll play.
Oh, I think I'll play. Yeah, will they finish the game? Honestly, that's what I think the Eagles are going to do.
Oh, you think they're going to start everyone?
I don't know if they start everyone, but I think they start a good number of their guys. And because here's the thing, Washington is playing Josh Johnson, right? Or is Mariota?
Yeah, well, it's called a long shot that he'll play Mariota
for Mariota.
Yeah,
okay, so they probably feel they can go beat Washington.
Yes.
With their third string quarterback, but you want to make sure that happens. In other words, you don't put a game of full backups out there and say, go beat Washington. Washington took Dallas to the wire last week.
Well, here's
that was with Dak Prescott out there.
I think that when we think of playing the starters, and I understand why, like we think Jalen, AJ, Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there logic to just playing the defensive starters? Hold the Washington to like 7 points and just count that the backups can get over 10?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. Like, the Eagles'
there's
offense...
There's logic to that, yeah.
So maybe you can sit Saquon, sit AJ, sit Devontae. You play the guys on defense. They're
Tanner's,
younger.
Tanner's quarterbacking?
Tanner's quarterbacking.
I guarantee them receivers are playing.
Go ahead. Can I bring up one thing, though, here? The strength of the 2025 Eagles is what?
The defense.
The defense.
Right. So... we're putting...
Well, that's the count.
So we're putting the first-string defense out there.
The best unit on the team.
I agree. Yeah. That's the counter. I'm just saying if you play the defensive guys... And I always think on defense, it's a little easier to... You can, you know, play some of the defensive linemen. Like, I think if you put Campbell and, you know, Trotter out there, that'll be... You know, you can still...
Throw BG out there. Let BG get out there.
I was wondering, BG, if you put him out
dude,
there.
That'd be so funny.
I just think they're getting too cute. We'll win the football game. This is... The whole thing about that, well, we don't really need the two seed. We can win with our backups. To me, there's more that can go wrong doing that than just playing... your football players.
Well, I think you're... All right, so now I think we're starting to part ways a little bit. Like, there is true value in going into the playoff rested and healthy.
Yes.
I mean, there is. Like, there absolutely
is. How much did that help Detroit last year?
It didn't help them. But I mean,
and
that's one example. But
there's also true value to having
a two-seed. But in 23, the Eagles played their starters and lost AJ, and that's probably not the main reason.
You keep going back to that season. That season was a disaster.
But it's an exact example of the risk of playing
somebody. And it was MetLife Turf.
I'm just saying, it was the exact example of what could happen. Like, we can all say play for the two-seed, and it's what I would do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if Jalen gets hurt, if, I don't know, Jalen Carter gets hurt, like, that's a major hit.
Let me ask you something. Why'd they play against the Bills?
I don't know.
It's the same risk.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you keep the hope alive at that point. I get the two games. Like, you
could keep the hope alive
Again, you could, for the two seed.
Right.
And no,
then
I know.
Here, it's right
I
in front
am
of
saying
them.
I'll play, yeah. But I think you're diminishing a little bit the risk, is all I'm saying. Like, I think you're completely dismissing what a healthy roster goes. Like, you are risking something by doing it. There is a major risk involved in this.
There is risk in the, it is risk reward with you're risking driving to work every day.
Yeah. I think that's a bad example, though.
It's not
yours, the truth.
No, I know.
People die
but,
on the street every
day. Right, I get it, but that's not, it's not truly apples to apples. Like, I know what you're doing. But, like, what I'm saying, when you decide to play them in the game, it is a major risk. Like, it is, flat
it's
out.
It's not a major risk.
It absolutely is. Every time they take the field, it is a major risk they could get hurt.
But then that goes back to Spike's point about why play the Bills in the Bills game.
Well, again, we could have had that discussion.
You can tear an ACL at practice. You can pop
because
an Achilles at practice.
Because there's certain things you do have to do. Like, I get your point. Right. No, but you don't have to go for the two seed is the point I'm making. Well,
there it is. We agreed long enough.
Well, because I think you're diminishing the risk here. Like, I'm willing to accept the risk for it, but there is a risk.
Well, there's risk in everything.
I know, but we're not talking about everything. We're talking about the risk in the football game. And if you put the starters out there and someone gets hurt, that is a major blow to their postseason. Like, I would try to do it because I do think the two is worth it. But it is a risk.
Of course. There's risk every game they play. Just like there was risk against the Bills.
Right.
Why'd you play against the Bills?
Well, then why play them all season? No. Well, but if you're going to do the car analogy.
No. Against the Bills, they had nothing to gain but the two seed. Nothing.
They have the same thing this week.
Yes.
And you would play them this week.
A cold, rainy field.
Yep.
You decided to put all the starters out there just for the two seed.
Yes, and if
so to not go and finish it is crazy. There was more risk against the Bills to get hurt on a sloppy field.
Oh, yeah.
I feel about that.
And going against a team is actually playing. I would say there's more risk.
Agreed. Yeah, and again, I would play the starters. I'm just saying, I think you are minimizing the risk a little bit here. Like, you're just like there is true risk here.
Well, no,
honestly, I would almost
go ahead.
I would almost not play Tanner McKee and just play Sam Howell. Like, if you're...
I got to go watch Sam Howell play Sunday.
If they're going to go with the backups, then just play Sam Howell.
You know they should do?
Sam Howell is still better than Josh Johnson.
They should just forfeit the game.
No, I think they should go for the two-seed.
Sam Howell
but
revenge
I'm saying,
game?
If they are going to play the backups on Sunday, Tanner McKee is a critical player on this team heading into the postseason. He is the backup quarterback. He is. Like, so if you're acknowledging you don't want to risk critical players, Tanner McKee is a critical player.
Let me tell you.
I would sign a kicker and not kick Jake Elliott. Like, if that's what they're going to do. But it's
Sassy Elliott. See, there you go.
Hey.
Went too far with the sound of the
kicker. I'm saying it's one or the other.
He needs the work.
No, he needs to be healthy.
Jake Elliott?
You think one game of kicking is going to make a big difference to him?
Yes!
I don't. As someone that's won the field goal competition twice, I don't think it's
fair
it.
Fair point
it's
by you. Fair
exactly,
point.
Exactly, yes. Right. Now, to be fair, you know special teams too a little bit.
I've never kicked a field goal, though.
I was going to say, yeah.
215-592-9494. Last time we hear from Chuck from Mount Airy in 2025. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah, hey, you guys must think this is a plantation or something. I'm not playing these guys. Are you crazy? This is not back in 1960. You know what I mean? You got to play. These guys played damn near 20 games. I would have bitched their ass last week. You talk about playing them this week? You guys are insane.
Yeah, but the two seed does matter, Chuck.
Do you want to play the NFC Championship game at home or on the road?
Listen, can you hear me? I'm going to pull over. Listen, the two seed don't mean a damn thing, okay? It'll come with a bye week. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you what means something, right? That defense is going to be out there a hell of a lot come playoff time. And they need to be fresh, okay? And I need to keep those guys protected. So I don't give a damn if you put Jalen Hurts and those guys out there. Go ahead. If you want to do that, go ahead. They don't play well anyway. They play well anyway. But that defense, you know what I mean? It's the pride and joy of the city. That defense is the pride and joy of this of this organization right now. That defense, we can ride to a Super Bowl. I'm not putting Coop out there. I'm not putting Quinion out there. I damn sure ain't putting Jalen Carter out there with two bad shoulders. And Nakobe Dean already nursing a bad thigh. I'm not throwing you guys are crazy, man. To even be discussing this right now. Put the Dolphins out there.
Let me ask you something, Chuck.
This is a different angle.
Yeah, Chuck, do you think teams win more at home or on the road?
Teams, despite I know what you try to do.
I'm not trying to do anything.
He knows your game.
Do teams win more often at home or on the road?
I'm gonna answer your question, right? But I got a rebuttal with that. Teams win more at home.
Okay.
I get that, especially the Eagles. They, with this defense, they would be dynamite at home. I agree with you on that. But also, the freshest team, the War Nutrition, wins every time. Every time. And this defense can travel. You know what I'm saying? This defense can travel. I'm not worried about that. You give me one home game, and I don't think Chicago's that damn good anyway, that they won't get knocked off in the second round, and we wind up getting home field throughout anyway.
See, that's my biggest concern is not the first-round opponent. It's avoiding going to Chicago. I think going to Chicago is the one game they could lose. Outside of that, I think they would win all the other games. But going to Chicago, I think, is the toughest matchup for this team.
Well, Chicago's first game would probably be, if they're the two seed, it's Green Bay.
It'd be Green Bay, yeah. Right.
So
it's divisional.
Well, he's right, and that'll be the third time they play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if anybody got a chance to go in there and beat Chicago,
but it
would be Green Bay.
For the Eagles, avoiding the trip to Chicago, there's two main issues with that game specifically.
Mm-hmm.
One, this team clearly struggles with pre-snap communication and noise. Every week we do the shows,
yep.
Right? They bring it up all the time.
Yep.
It'll be loud in Chicago, right?
Yep.
It's a rabid fan base, all those things. Two, this offense can't function in the cold. There's been enough cold games this year where they have been unable to function. So,
that's fair.
I would rather go to San Francisco. I would rather go to Seattle. I mean, they won't go to Carolina, but I'd rather go there. Like, avoiding going to Chicago is why I would play the starters. It's not so much about the first round matchup. It's about not having to go to Chicago.
Well,
made an error.
Yep.
Hang on, Chuck.
No, he called it when I called it.
Okay.
I'm talking about with you. You called it when I called it.
No, I know. I'm curious to hear what it was.
Oh, you're the dead meat.
All right. Well, I'm excited. So, I would be surprised. But.
So didn't you tell me that one of the reasons that certain coaches aren't good is because their teams do not play well in the cold?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. Interesting.
And
well, you think
also
you got
said,
me, but you didn't. So
well,
I'm excited.
I did.
I'll let you kill more time here.
And we also think that that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are the quarterback and head coach of this football
For
team
sure.
that you said are one of the 10 best of all time.
Maybe.
But they can't even play in the cold.
Well, hold on. What I've said was, the offense can't function in the cold. Nick Sirianni's team is 3-0 in the cold. They can win in the cold.
Well, it was cold in that Bears game they lost.
You don't want to play in the cold.
Because
you
of the offense in Jalen.
Well,
that's what
half
I'm saying.
The team.
But the point we were making when we did this debate was Kyle Shanahan's teams can't do it. Nick Sirianni's teams can go to the cold.
It's Vic Fangio's team, then.
You don't want to go to the cold.
Yes, because the offense can't function in the cold.
So then give Vic Fangio credit.
Vic Fangio can have credit, but the team is tough because of Nick Sirianni. They went in the cold
because of Nick Sirianni.
They absolutely are tough.
They're tough because of Vic Fangio. He's really changed the culture
Nick
here.
Nick sets the culture for
no,
the team.
Yes, no, he doesn't.
Have you been around Vic Fangio?
They have been a different
culture setter. He's a great coach.
They were a soft-ass defense in 23, and everything changed when Vic Fangio got here, and he actually had the stones.
They were a tough team in 22. How tough were the Miami Dolphins?
Vic Fangio had the cojones and the clout to be able to go to the front office and say, we need tougher practices and longer practices.
Okay.
Was that Nick Sirianni or not?
It was Vic Fangio.
No, he's changed culture here.
First of all,
Nick's along for the ride.
At the practices, they're not that much longer or tougher than they were. I don't care what people
every single player says they're tougher and longer.
It's a talking point because they get asked the right questions.
Yeah, because you don't want to give Vic Fangio credit.
10 minutes longer than they used to be. Let's not act like they're out there two-a-days.
And now you're pulling out the whole, I'm at practice.
I'm just saying, you can come, you have a credential.
I have no interest in going.
I know you don't.
It's baseball season.
Because Jalen sets records in training camp. But
you said he sucked in training camp
this
year.
And I've been proven right again. The offense is not good. Another good year for the training camp stats, by the way.
All right, so real clear.
But will you admit that you didn't get me?
No, like, I did.
We got you in a corner.
Elliot's teams win in the cold.
You just told me. Elliot, turn his mic off. You just said you didn't want to go and play in the cold. If you are confident that they would win in the cold because Nick Sirianni's teams win in the cold,
yeah,
then you wouldn't mind going to play in the cold. It is as clear as day to anyone who heard you say it. You don't want to play in the cold because you think they will have a less chance of winning, obviously.
Yes, because the offense struggles in the cold, but that's not because of a toughness thing.
Well, why do they struggle in the cold, Elliot?
Because I don't think Jalen's good in the cold.
Why? Because he's not tough?
I don't think he's a strong arm.
Because he's not tough?
No, I think he is tough for sure, but okay. I don't think he plays well in the cold. The point I'm making with the Kyle Shanahan thing is, and I think it was Mike McDaniels too, like, their teams are not tough to me. Those teams don't go and win in the cold. Nick's teams win in the
Even
cold.
Even though the 49ers won at Lambeau in the playoffs.
It was one example.
In the cold. Yeah. Okay.
I will say I've started to call Shanahan a big game coach after last. Like, I'm willing to change my mind, just not on this one.
Coach of the year. Favorite.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick should have won one over the past few years.
I agree. Nick should get more consideration than he gets.
I think he should be in the discussion this year.
No, he shouldn't. No, he shouldn't.
I mean, if you look at it.
This year?
Well, if you look at it, though.
No, he shouldn't.
Chuck's still there, by the way.
What?
You want to check back in on Chuck?
Oh, is Chuck still on?
Oh, hey, Chuck. Yeah. Happy New Year.
Am I still here?
Yeah, it's 2026.
It's 2026.
Hey, y'all just zoned out on me. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm getting off. I'm going to let y'all go do your thing. I just wanted to say this, right?
Yeah.
We need to rest these guys next week. Simple
as
that.
All right, Chuck.
You got to use the same formula. You didn't even ask me the next question. You got to use the same formula.
Oh, next question. Sorry.
The same formula you used to get to the Super Bowl last year, you use it again. Don't change it up.
Right.
But yeah, my next question is, listen, this guy was very inspirational to me when I was younger, man. And he started a Tybo thing. It's called, his name was Billy Blinks.
Tybo was a
high peak.
That was a thing, yeah.
Yeah. That's, wow, Billy Brinks and Tybo. Yeah. I haven't heard Tybo. Tybo before your time, or do you remember it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's like an exercise
early 90s,
program.
Right? Mid-90s?
Yeah,
it was like a home exercise program.
Oh, yeah. It's like me boxing.
Yeah.
Oh, Tybo. I thought we were talking about a player, like a name.
No, Billy Brinks was
the instructor.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. Now, to celebrate 2025's farewell, at 30 past every hour, we will be playing great moments from the WIP afternoon show from 2025.
It's a good idea, by the way, to recap the moments on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was...
No one's ever done it before.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. First time in radio history.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And we're just getting started. Wait, the 2026 one is going to be outrageous.
I'm sure.
We might need extra hours, actually. I know Ike will probably not stay for the extra hours, but we'll...
Oh, I would.
Oh, you would?
I would.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah, because we only work a couple days.
All right. Are you kidding me?
So coming up next, do we have two moments coming up next?
We do.
We have two moments coming up next from the 2025, from the best of 2025. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike and Fritz.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked about God's grace and all the hell we raised.
That's all right.
And then I heard the old man say,
he's a great line to live by.
God is great, and there's good.
Oh, no. Okay.
And people are crazy.
Come on, man. That's relatable music right there.
God is great. Beer is good and people are crazy.
Yeah.
Who is this?
Billy Currington.
Okay. Is he
a good run? Like, okay. 06 to 010, probably.
Oh, he's an older guy.
Yeah, semi old.
That wasn't 230 Tupac.
No. Not 230 Tupac.
330 Country.
330 Country.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
430 90s.
Yeah.
530 Creed. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're dreaming of another chip, make her feel like a world champion every day with a custom diamond ring from Mark's Jewelers. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Which would you do Sunday? Start the starters or sit the starters? 53% say start the starters. 47% say sit the starters.
That going down?
Yes, it is. We were at 63% the first hour.
I got an honest moment.
Okay.
I think my mind is changing a little bit.
Oh, jeez.
Where were you? I didn't hear the open to the...
Well, I'm a play guy, start to guys, yes.
Yeah.
There is something to it. You know what it is? It's not that I don't believe the number two seed is important.
Yeah.
It's do I believe they can win this game without playing the starters?
Oh, dangerous game. That's now, a you're dangerous right. game.
But they're playing Josh Johnson.
Yes. That's a dangerous game. Are you sitting starters on defense too? What's more important, the two seed or Saquon's record?
Well, you know, it's an interesting... You know what?
Saquon's record.
Okay, fair enough.
You know it'll be interesting on Sunday? Devontae is 40 yards short of 1,000.
There's no doubt he's playing Sunday.
If I'm Saquon, and I got to watch Devontae go out there for 40 yards to get to 1,000 yards, and I missed out on the all-time rushing record last year, like that is something to consider here. I know with 40 yards, it's not a ton, but unless Devontae is going to go out there with the backup offensive line and the backup quarterback, like...
Yeah.
That's fair, but they did give him $40 million this offseason.
No, I know, but it's not history.
So, that's true. Yeah. So 30 past every hour today, we are playing great moments from 2025 that Jack has found. And since it's Tuesdays with Elliot, Jack found two Elliot-related moments from the year to celebrate.
Yes.
Jack, do you want to set up number one for us?
Of course. This was, you know, late summer.
Okay.
This is actually back-to-back days.
Okay.
Okay. So this first one happened on Thursday leading into the Eagles-Bengals preseason. Here's how feisty Jalen Hurts' argument turned.
Jalen was the starting quarterback all year. Jalen had to do more work to win his Super Bowl than Nick did.
That's fine, but not in the games. Not in the games. Not in the games. And the other thing I would say is if you put 100 Eagles fans on a lie detector test and you ask them which Super Bowl meant more to you, the one in 2018 or the one in 2025, they would tell you the one in 2018. Nick Foles,
but that's
Super
a completely
Bowl
different discussion.
No,
what we're
but
talking
it
about.
Should matter.
First of all, it's not 2018 and 2025. It's 2017 and
the Super Bowl in 2018.
But I know, but it's the
you don't have to be a little bitch about it.
I'm not being. But like,
you're being a little bitch.
I'm not. But there is a difference.
I was being a little bit of a B about that.
Yeah. Jack, did it hurt you not bleeping that? Because
nah, it's fine.
Okay, that did get dumped that time, right?
Yeah.
That's the first time that was played on the air without getting dumped.
Oh, yeah. It got dumped? I didn't know that.
It did get dumped that day.
Who was back in the studio?
Had to be Buzz.
Yeah.
It's funny because this past weekend, we were at a store and they had like Eagle stuff and it had two trophies and they said 2018 and 2025.
Oh, really?
And for a split second, I was going to text you a picture of it. And then I was like, I don't want them to call me a little B again. So
now you did admit later that you were being a little
B. It was unnecessary to point out. Like, okay. I do think it is correct. We should say 2017 to 2024. But in that moment, it was being a little B.
Okay. All right.
It's all right. I can admit it.
Okay. So that is moment one. A great moment. Now, this one happened the very next day.
The very next day at Chickie's.
Okay.
Oh, I know what this was.
When we got this rant.
The traffic around the complex has gotten worse and worse over the last 3 years.
I don't get this whole traffic thing. Like, yes, there was a huge event with lots of people.
No.
There was traffic.
It has gotten way worse.
I don't know how it would get worse. There's not been a huge, unless I'm unaware of it, a change in the road.
Wherever they're directing people now and closing, it has gotten more. It is worse down there now than it used to be.
Yeah, I just really think at big events there's traffic.
No. Yes. But also, it is worse.
Like, yeah, man, there's like 50,000 people down there. There's going to be traffic.
Well, Nate Bargatze was there last night.
And there have been 50,000 everywhere. I don't know where you think the traffic's going to go. Like,
there have been 50,000 people down there for 50 years.
And there's been traffic all the time.
And it hasn't been as bad as it is now.
You
do not get there or leave when everyone else does.
I know what traffic is.
But you haven't experienced it. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Literally, every person who drives down there says it's worse than it used to be. Every person.
And there's always been traffic.
And it's worse.
I don't get how it's worse. When's the last time you sat in that traffic? When's the last time you sat in that traffic?
Metallica a month and a half ago.
Yeah, and I was at Taylor Swift, which is a way bigger deal. And there was traffic there.
Calm a little bit.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, do it. Go ahead.
I think that was the first time I got the belt. It was after those 2 days. Yeah.
You definitely deserved it.
That was at 4:19, and the belt at 4:30.
Yeah.
Right under the
wire. Yeah, that's right. You guys decided to give it to him at the break.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't decide to give myself the belt.
There was no way he was not getting the belt that week.
I actually think I won that. listening back objectively.
No, like, you didn't. You were arguing a different thing.
I don't want to do it again, but yeah. I mean, again, like the traffic tweets. It's out of control. The funniest thing is that Sunday was the Eagles' open practice, and it did take longer to get to the stadium than normal. Yeah.
So I want to ask you about an Eagles thing. After the game on Sunday, there was an interesting quote from Nick Sirianni when he was asked about, they were talking about the offense in the second half, again, maybe not being as aggressive, mm-hmm. or I forget what the question was. And Sirianni said this.
In the process of doing a better job, you were talking about how you had to get more involved. Does that happen in real time when the play is called by Kevin, or do you go back to him at the bench and say, hey, we could do this, we could do that?
Yeah, it's hard in real time, Sal, because, you know, if there's a play called and then I say to myself, right there in that scenario, like, then you're going to get low on the play clock. So it's got to be better communication from me. I just need to do a better job there in the second half. Like, again, everything that is on that field has my name on it, not nobody else. So it's tough in real time, Sal. It's got to be something that's done a little bit more by me in the in-between series. You know, and that's always a challenge because you're managing the game. You're looking at different things. You're trying to make sure you're looking at things. But I have to do it. I've done that before, so I need to do a better job in that scenario.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So there are three things that are weird in there to me. Number one, it's my name on it, so I got to do something about it, which speaks a little more to like blame to me than anything else.
So that, I will say that is something he does say a lot. Like, I'm the head coach. It's on whatever the product is on the field is on me. He does say that.
All right.
Yeah, that part didn't catch my ear, but something else did.
Yeah. The second thing was, this is just funny. He's like, well, there's a lot going on. Well,
that's your job, man.
Yeah, it's the offense.
Yeah.
I could promise you, you're not telling Vic Fangio what to do in between series. So, you know, your time to get over to you know, Kevin Petullo and say, why don't we do this? But finally, like, the idea that we've been told over and over that Kevin Petullo calls the plays, Kevin Petullo calls the plays, and Nick is basically admitting that if I got to get over there and change the plays, I don't know, it was weird.
So the two takeaways from me would be, one, there's almost an implication like he doesn't like the plays that are being called.
Yes.
You know, like if he's saying, I need to be a better job of essentially monitoring it to see like what's being called, because obviously, you know, they didn't play well in the second half, and he's saying he has to do a better job talking to Petullo before the plays. There is some implication there he doesn't like the plays that are being called. But my main takeaway from it is, and this is not just that answer, but the team as a whole, especially coming off Buffalo, is it is shocking to me how many times the excuses they give or the reasoning they give are detail-oriented things that they're supposed to be great at. Like, Nick's whole thing is tough detail together, right? And we just discussed a tough thing. They're obviously a tough team. But detailed, it feels like Jordan talks about pre-snap communication. We're still talking, still, it's about to be the playoffs, about them getting to the line quicker, right? And the like, and now Nick's talking about like online sideline procedure in terms of like how they're handling things. I know they're not going to talk about specific on-field problems because they're not going to throw players under the bus. But one thing I think Nick has been elite at during his time here is the detailed things, right? Like, they're not often a sloppy team. And I think they are a very well-coached team. But this year, it feels like so many of the problems are things that are within their own control. And one thing Nick says all the time is, we can control the things you can control. And it doesn't feel like this year they're doing a good job of that.
Yeah, from communication to details to just knowing, even the thing you brought up there, to be able to get to the line earlier.
Right, that seems so simple. Like, early on in the year, I mean, we did this with the Mailata thing, but I thought it was such a red flag that they are not able to get to the line quicker. Because that is such like a procedural thing, everyone on the same page, figuring out how to do it, and they're still talking about it.
Well, that means the plays are coming in late.
It has to be something.
Yeah. Decision to go with what personnel and what play to call isn't being made fast enough. It's not being relayed to Jalen fast enough so that he can relay it in the huddle to everyone else.
Well, and yesterday, Nick said within an answer, he acknowledged how important it is for the quarterback to have time at the line to see what's going on,
yes.
Right? And no team in the league snaps the ball with less time left on the clock than the Eagles. So they're acknowledging it's important Jalen has time there, and it doesn't seem like they have found a solution to this problem.
So I want to distinguish the difference, and not that you're wrong in what you're saying.
But snapping it and...
Yeah, snapping it late isn't bad, necessarily. Getting to the line late is what's bad.
Yes, I agree. There's a difference.
Yes, because you can get to the line with 15 seconds, give you a time to look over things, see everything.
Yeah.
And then you can take your time to snap the ball after you make checks. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're running out of the huddle and it's only 7 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, that's a difference.
That's the difference there. So not that you were wrong. I was wrong.
It is different. Yeah.
I just want people to understand that it's really getting the play in and allowing them to get up there lined up so they can see everything.
Yeah. No, for sure. And so... The other thing is, I don't know if you guys played Petullo today or
anything.
No, we hadn't.
But he was talking about why the offense struggled in the second half. And he basically said we were bad on first down. So we were in a lot of seconds and third and long, which is true, right? Yep. And this is something we've talked about all the time.
Yep.
But I also think we've reached a point of the season where being bad on first down cannot be the end-all, be-all or a death sentence to a drive.
Yeah.
Like, just because you don't have a good first down, there are teams that in years past have had bad first downs, but shovel their way out of it and dig their way out of it and still keep the drive going. The Eagles are on a historic third and out rate this year. So clearly, while I agree they've not been good on first down, you can't tell me they're like the worst first down offense ever. So I just think continually saying the first down is killing them, while true, you have to be able to find a solution on second and third down.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I would also guess that they're also bad on second down because the number of third and longs.
Right.
Yeah, they averaged the longest, at least they did prior to this week.
Yeah.
And that's sort of Elliot's point, is that it's not just first down. Like,
right,
you keep saying first down. That shouldn't kill the drive because you only got 1 yard on first down.
They're not the worst first down offense ever.
And how the hell did we go from being a team that says, well, you know what? It may as well be first and nine, meaning that they're going to get that last yard regardless of what it is, because they're likely to go for it on fourth down. We can't tush push anymore. Yeah. That has thrown everything out of whack for us. And I said it then that damn play became a crutch for us.
Well, now they can't
do it. Now they don't do it as well, so now we're all discombobulated.
Yeah.
I for a while... what I would usually say is, I don't know if Kevin Petullo is a good offensive coordinator or not, but I do know that there are things that are making it difficult for him to do his job, which I do think is true in that the offensive line playing the way that it is, Jalen's specific limitations do create issues if you can't run the ball early, all those things. But the longer it goes on, And the more that you hear about communication issues and detail issues and everybody being on the same page, that was another thing that Jordan said to us last week. He was like, well, now that we're all on the same page, and I'm just like, man, it is week 17 when he said that. Now it's week 18. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not good at
it. Well, to keep going down this road, like, I think when we talk about Petullo as a coordinator, we talk about the scheme. Like as if he's only judged by if guys are open. And I get
why. Right.
But I do
think...
that's
not always fair.
Yeah. What I was going to say is, I do think this year guys have been open. And that's why I've been more critical of Jalen. Last week against Buffalo, I don't think guys were open.
Yep.
Right? But but what we're talking about sounds like an offense that has a first-year coordinator.
Yes.
Right? Like things about like when they're getting to the line, pre-snap. Like, we haven't brought up anything schematic. Right? We're talking about like things within their control. So I think that when we talk about Petullo with the scheme, I think they're fine. Like, I think mostly they have a scheme that works. If they play well, they can move the ball. But they are kind of a sloppy team. And that's on Nick first and foremost, right? But if Petullo is the coordinator of the offense, they don't often play like a coordinated offense pre-snap. Like, they're uncoordinated.
And you just said something that is... hitting the nail on the head. He's a first-time coordinator. And we're at a point in the season where people aren't necessarily giving you grace for not having this thing figured out. And I'm not sitting here trying to make excuses for Kevin Petullo, but he is a first-time play caller and a coordinator. So it's almost like if you got a rookie in there as a quarterback, you're going to expect some ups and downs from the rookie. He's going to show you some good things and why you like him, and then it's going to be those rough moments where you got to sort of coach him through it. And I'm wondering, as Kevin Petullo is going through his first season as a play caller, is the staff experienced enough that when you come together collectively, are they finding the answers to so that he can sort of fight his way out of this thing,
yeah,
as opposed to being left to try to do it himself? And I know Nick said he's going to get more involved, but I'm like, okay, you guys have about the same amount of experience, and Nick, you weren't necessarily the best play caller when you were doing it. So that's the one thing with Kellen Moore, who had been a play caller in the past. When he sees something's not working, he has the ability to pivot and go to something else and figure it out. He has the answers to what's not working.
Well, and I also wonder if the answers they need are not like, well, you know, less hitch routes. If the answers they need are someone with experience that can say, my players cannot do this pre-snap. Like, it's not working. So here's another solution, mm-hmm, to get to the same thing that is maybe simpler or whatever, like something like that.
Yeah.
And so the ironic thing about all this is it's actually the argument to bring Petullo back next year, because he will have a full year of experience.
Well, that's the argument I was leaning towards.
Exactly,
yes.
Right. Like, yeah. I think you're seeing some inexperienced things with this offense, and I think that is on Petullo as an inexperienced coordinator.
And working with, and Spike just said this, and working with Jalen, it's not like you're working with some 10-year, 12-year vet that is sort of been in a system, a pocket quarterback, plays under center. When you're eliminating certain facets of the offense because he's not necessarily comfortable with doing everything, now you have to work around. And that's where Kellen Moore was able to adjust, mm-hmm, when they had the bye week thing, right? And now Kellen Moore's like, hold on, I'm a damn passing guru, and I got to turn into a running guru.
Yeah,
they were able to do it. He, yeah, was able to do it.
Well, and the other thing, as far as a coaching thing that we haven't talked about in a while, but is still, I think, important to mention, is the penalties thing. Like, the two teams that have the fewest penalties in the NFL per game are the 49ers and the Rams.
On the Daily Pod tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. And I think the Patriots are eighth in terms of fewest penalties per game. Seattle and the Patriots are tied for
If you look at the most penalized teams, they're all the bad teams.
Except for Denver.
Denver and the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Denver, you know, a young quarterback there.
Yes. 215-592-9494.
The veteran play caller.
Veteran play caller.
Yeah.
Tom in Vancouver, you're on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Tom.
What up, Tom?
In Vancouver. How long has it been since Tom has called
us?
It's
a Go Birds caller right here.
Oh,
easy.
It's been about a year, and the thing is, I'm just working too much. I got two jobs.
Amen,
so,
Tom.
Okay, so I can call in on weekends, and you guys aren't working, of course. So I am a regular caller. I've got a time slot on Go Birds at 11 a.m.
Top of the hour. Anyone who wants to hear Tom, Saturdays at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
You're buzzed. Did you tweet about it?
Yep, I will.
So now, I have to say, I was like, I'm really, really glad I'm able to watch you guys on YouTube. I think that anybody who hasn't had that experience, the producers are doing a great job, whoever the engineers are, all the rest of it. And you guys are awesome. You're awesome being able to see the little gestures and such. So highly recommend it.
Thank you.
And I got to say,
Tom,
you're welcome. Today, I'm listening to Elliot. And I'm listening to Elliot say, Elliot, you know I love you, but I'm listening to you say that Vic Fangio did not bring it for the defense in the same way. Like, the defense was tough before.
Well, hold on. That's not exactly what I said.
Just admit that I cooked you.
No, exactly. You didn't cook me at all. Like, the team is tough because of Nick. I'm not saying...
Stop.
Again, how tough was the Dolphins defense? Like,
who
I'm
cares?
Not saying Vic
who
is
cares?
Not a tough guy, but Nick is
well,
the one that sets the culture there.
I tell you what, I bet you the Dolphins wish they had kept Nick Vic Fangio right now.
I bet they would have. But I'm just saying, Nick is the culture setter down there.
Wasn't this like, Nick, let's shorten the practices? Like, this is
well, that's smart. That's just smart.
Let's not go down there.
You've lost this one 2 years ago.
Yeah, 10 minutes longer. They're like so different. They do individuals for a little longer.
Well, the practices are only an hour, right? So 10 minutes longer.
Well, now they're
like
an hour 15.
Yeah, no, that's yeah, a, well, it matters. Yeah.
No, they do a few more team reps. I agree.
Yeah, we get it. You go to practice and we don't.
Yeah,
you get it.
I got all the stats.
Yeah, you and
you
the rest
to work
of
extra hard.
The rest of the dorks over there with your iPhone.
Tweeting everything.
The big fear when Vic Fangio came was that he was going to be hurtful for the culture because he was going to be too tough. That's what everybody was saying. And it was like, oh, the players are saying he coaches too tough and all the rest of it. Meanwhile, you've got Eagles players who are saying, can we please put on the pads in practice? Because we're not feeling that we're getting it enough here.
So, yeah, I think some of that's performative. Like they are a tough team because of Nick. I think they practice a little longer. They do put pads on sometimes. But, like, I think they are tough because of the culture there. I don't think they're tough because they practice a few more plays.
All right. Well, let's move on to the question of the show. Yeah. And that's, in my opinion, I'm on the side of Spike. And I'm not sure where Ike is on this now, because
he's hedging.
Yeah, around. Classic on the fence Ike.
Yeah.
What?
I'm on Team Spike on this, man. This team has not earned the right for a rest. Unless you're an injured player, like a Lane Johnson, okay. I can see that. We want a healthy Lane back. I could also see that if the Bears win their game, then I could see resting key players on the defense. But the offense,
you're not going to know that they're playing at the same time, Tom.
Yeah, they do play at the same time.
Well, then you got to play them all.
Yeah,
you have to. You have no choice. And the offense, my God, those guys need to learn. It's unbelievable when you're at the end of the season and they're still making the same mistakes that they're making.
Yeah. See, I'm less concerned about changing that. I think they are who they are.
Agreed.
I'm more concerned with winning the game and having a number two seed.
Yeah.
I'm more in that corner. So the only reason why I said I started to shift a little bit, because now I started to think, like, well, can they beat Washington without the starters?
Dangerous game.
I think they can. I mean,
they can.
I mean, Tanner's practically a starter.
There's definitely less of a chance. So the line is.
Yeah, I would agree.
The line opened up at 7.5, and I think if it was with the backups, it would be something like 4.
Yeah, I was going to say 4.5.
Wouldn't it be just our luck? They sit the guys. Tanner starts 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. And next week, this is, instead of us getting ready for a damn playoff game.
Play the backups.
Yeah.
Play the backups.
You know damn well that's what everybody will be talking about.
Well, when it would happen is if it was like 6-0 in the first half against Green Bay. You know, like,
right.
Like,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's when it would happen.
So that's, I'm like,
Tom.
That's a possibility.
Tom, for next question, give us someone who had a short but high peak.
Sorry, what was that?
Did you ask him?
Ooh, boy.
Did he know?
I thought he was listening.
No. I really wanted to get in on that point about the Commanders. The issue is, if they do not play them against the Commanders, then basically you're turning it into a trap game. The Commanders are going to go in, and they're going to be wanting to win after that two-point conversion try. And then you're going to have the Eagles come in, and they're going to be saying, well, we're going to be sitting starters in this game. What message is that going to be?
I actually think the backups would try harder than the starters.
I appreciate the call, Tom. Happy New Year.
Especially if they know they're not playing the whole game.
Happy New Year.
Well, yeah, I just think, like, the backups, they're going out there for their jobs.
Right,
but
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, you mean Washington's backups?
No, I'm saying I think Tanner McKee and the backups would play harder than the Eagles starters in this game. Because
yes, I agree with you
they have
that.
More to play for. Like, do we really think, you know, like Saquon, AJ, Devontae, and Goddard care a lot about the 2 versus the 3? Like, I'm sure they care. But I think the health would be more important to them.
Isn't it the coach's job to make sure that they try hard?
Well, that's why I think the backups would try hard, because they have a great culture, 1 through 53. Actually, 69.
Right, happy New Year.
Nice. Thank you, exactly.
Happy New Year, Elliot.
Happy New Year to you guys as well. Great year of the show, by the way.
Thank you. And your contributions, obviously very small.
Obviously the best part. Yeah,
exactly. No.
He's the reigning insider of the year.
I did see all your mentions were like, the traffic moment.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Big part of the show. And make it your New Year's resolution to subscribe to Go Birds.
You can
do it on any podcast platform. Is there ESPN tomorrow? No, not New Year's.
Not New Year's Eve.
Okay. All right. Could expect it.
Crazy here. Yeah. I got to have a fun time.
All right. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Jordan Mailata will join us. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. All right, time for your New Year's resolution. Your New Year's resolution should be, during the summer, you're not going to pay somebody thousands of dollars to stay at their shore house. No. Why? Well, because you're going to have one yourself. You're going to charge other people to stay at your house. They're going to pay your mortgage. You're going to have a place to go with your family and friends, a little investment as well. Adam Kasabi is the realtor who can help you make it happen. Even if you thought before, I can't make this happen, Kasabi can do it. For one reason or another, too tough, bidding's too crazy, you don't know what shore town, you don't have the time, Kasabi's going to take all the time. He's a mad dog. He's based out of Long and Foster in Bethany Beach, and he knows the Delaware Beach
Beach is better than anybody. Maryland as well. I know Ike used to be Maryland's man, you know, Ocean City, Maryland. And like I said, then you have your own place. You're not renting from somebody else. You could rent it to other people. And Delaware, if you've never been, man, Delaware beaches are excellent. Lowest property taxes in the entire country, Delaware beaches, compared to high property taxes in Jersey. And if you grew up going to Jersey, Kasabi has plenty of contacts there as well. When you want to take the leap, you got to reach out to Adam Kasabi. You spell it K-S-E-B-E. How do you get in touch with him? You can call or text him directly at 302-864-8643 or go to processrealtor.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.